Scripture lesson this morning is from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. This is the word of the Lord. I grew up in northern Wisconsin, as most of you know. I lived there for the first 18 years of my life, and then I moved to Kansas City for a couple years to go to a technical school. And at the age of 20, I moved from Kansas City down to Mesquite in 1984, and I lived in Mesquite just up until last year when I got remarried and I moved out to Plano. Shortly after moving down to Mesquite, I met a girl named Donna, and the day arrived when I had to go meet the parents. We sat down to dinner, and her dad asked me, he says, "Where are you from?" And I said, "I'm from Wisconsin." He looked at me, and he said, "You're a Yankee." And I said, "Well, yeah." To him, anybody north of Red River, they're Yankee. So I said, "Yeah, I grew up in Wisconsin, and to get to my house, you get on Interstate 35, and you drive north until it ends. That's how far it is. And you hit a stoplight, and you turn right, you go over the bridge, and there's my house. That's where I grew up." I said, "A matter of fact, I was about 100 miles from the Canadian border, so I'm almost a Canadian, for goodness sake." And you could hear a pin drop, and he was looking at me in just utter disbelief. And Donna was staring down at her plate, and I couldn't hear, but I know in her mind she's saying, "Good Lord." And at that moment, I knew I was no longer in Wisconsin. I was in a foreign land. And somehow, my guess, a little divine intervention, I survived that encounter, and we were married a short time after that. Now, this past week, Covenant Bible Study started, and I'm very excited about that. We have 12 people in the afternoon session. We have 12 people in the evening session. We still have space for maybe one or two more people, so if you're still interested, it was just an introductory thing last week. You can join us and participate in that, and it'll be a really good time. I have some extra books, so see me after the service if you want to participate in that. It's hard to sum up the Bible in just a few words, but if I had to sum up the Bible in just a few words, I would say the Bible is a story about God's covenant faithfulness. And that's a lot of the stuff that we covered this week in our readings. And we were going through the book of Genesis, and we read about, in the first 11 chapters of Genesis, you read about creation. You read about the fall, you read about the flood, you read about the Tower of Babel, read about all of that. But in chapter 12, God appears to be doing a new thing, and that's really what I want to focus on here today. Abram is called by God to go on a journey into a foreign land, and we really don't know much about Abram. We get a brief genealogy at the chapter 11, but that's about it. We're only told that he was 75 years old when he had to depart from Haran. And the Bible seems relatively uninterested in Abram's personal life and what went on before that time, before he receives the call from God. And we're only left to speculate about that. And I think that's a good thing, because if we knew what he was doing prior to that call, well, we would probably try and conclude that, well, if I do A, B, and C, then God is kind of obligated to call me too, And I think that's a very human thing to do, and in particular, it's a Western thing to do. We just break things down into three easy steps, and if we do these easy steps, God is then obligated to call us. So we kind of want to be in control of that situation. But the Bible paints a different picture. We are in a call-response relationship, all right, but God is the one who calls. We don't call. God calls us, and we are the ones who respond. So God comes on the scene here in chapter 12, and he calls Abram into a one-on-one relationship. And he calls Abram to a possibility of a new life. And a new life is offered from a single source, that is God. And it requires a single response from Abram. But this new relationship just doesn't benefit Abram. It benefits all of creation. All of creation benefits from this. The disastrous effects that we read about in the beginning of Genesis, in this chapter, God is beginning to sort of undo that. And God calls him to embrace this new life. And Abram doesn't really know what's going to happen. He doesn't envision this new life, but he responds in faith. He has no idea what lies ahead, but he responds in faith. And he has to leave everything that he knows and head off to a foreign land. I find it odd that Abram doesn't argue and try to bargain with God, because that's kind of what we do. I think that is also very human nature, to bargain with God. And we see that throughout other stories in the Bible. We want to bargain with God before we accept God's call. Sometimes the argument goes like this: you want me to go where? Well, as soon as I can get this wrapped up and that completed, and if you'll fix this, this, and this, then I think I'll be ready to go on this journey that you're calling me on. And the reason is, we don't like to take risks. We get comfortable in our homeland, and we're comfortable there, and we don't like to get out of that comfort zone. But Abram doesn't argue or bargain with God at all in this story, and the Bible leaves us to wonder why he doesn't do so. Abram simply departs for this foreign land. And at this point, he departs, and God says, I will bless you, and you will be a blessing to others. So all that it is at this point is a promise. And Abram goes on faith, and he knows that faith is a risky business, but he responds. So God calls us to go against the grain, and that's risky. To follow him in faith, that can be risky. Jesus makes the same call upon our lives when he says, follow me. That's risky business. That we, you know, it's to follow Jesus, that's going to take a risk to do that. And it is funny, you know, we say, you know, faith is on a decline and things like that, but people are really very faithful today. You can watch people jump off a bridge with a rubber band or whatever it is strapped to them, and they go down to the ground about this far from the ground, and they're having faith that this thing is going to stop and pull them back up. And it does, as a rule. Sometimes people jump out of airplanes. Sometimes like a tandem jump, there's two of them, and they're having faith that this parachute's going to open up and they'll float safely to the ground. A couple years ago, there was a guy who somehow got up to the edge of space and jumped off this platform, 24-mile drop. He had a helmet cam on. I was watching this. I got scared just watching the thing, you know. He fell like 24 miles. He reached a speed of 834 miles an hour. I mean, I don't even like to get on an airplane, let alone doing something like that. They're just out of the realm of possibility. So people are faithful in certain things. The church faces many challenges in the 21st century, but maybe one of the biggest challenges it faces is that we have domesticated God. And we command God to come and pay attention to us for an hour a week, maybe two at the most, and then invite him to come back next week to do the same thing. You know, that's kind of what we do. So we've kind of domesticated God in that way. But God is a risk taker, and he turns a lot over to us. And Abram was a risk taker because he was willing to follow God into the foreign land. And I encourage you to read that entire story in Genesis about Abram's journey into the foreign land. It's quite a story. It's got a lot of twists and turns to it. And it's an interesting story of faith. Now, some of you might say, you know, that's all well and good. I've never received a call like that. As a matter of fact, I'm more like Abram before he left and went on his journey. I've been living my life out in the same place my entire life or for many, many years. I've never received a call to leave the familiar surroundings of this place and venture into a foreign land. Fair enough. Some have been called in that way and some have not. I can honestly say that my moving to Texas wasn't some divine call that I received. It was a phone call from AT&T. They wanted me to come down to work here. And that's how I ended up down here. But looking back, you can see, you know, I could see where God was at work in that. And you can all see that too in your lives, where you end up at a place, you're responding, you don't perceive yourself responding to God, but you look back and see that he was kind of weaving things together there for you in that sense. So it's kind of open in a way. And I think that's how Abram was. It was kind of left open to him. He didn't quite know where he was going, but it was kind of open. And God calls us, each of us in our own way, to hear this call. And it is kind of open. It can come at any time. But I would argue that we have more in common with Abram than we may think that we have in common with him. From that dinner table in 1984, I'll fast forward to 2009. And the sequence of dates and all that is just, it's etched in my mind. Because on May 2nd, 2009, I remember seeing her dad's face again as I presided over her service of committal, and we buried her ashes. And then on May 6th, I went into work, and the owner of the company come in and said, we've got to scale things back and kind of shut things down, so you're out of a job. So I jump in the car, and I head up on I-35 north, and then I hit the stoplight and turned right. And on the 16th of May, I presided over my parents' service of committal. And when I was up there, I'm in a familiar place. I grew up there for 18 years, but it was foreign. It was a new place. So I got back on 35 and headed back down here. I've been here for more years than that. But I was heading into a foreign land. It was foreign territory. So how many of you have had a relationship that may have gone on for many, many years, and it ends, and sometimes it ends rather unexpectedly? You find yourself in a foreign land because it's just different. From one day to the next, it's completely different. We've been in a severe economic downturn over the past many, many years. Perhaps you or someone you know has lost their job, and when that happens, you're in a foreign land. Things are not the same anymore. A mother raises a child for years and years, and the time arrives when the child has to go off to school, off to college. Child drives off in the distance. Mother walks back into the house. She's in a foreign land. Things have changed. We all have hectic lives. We drive around. We're going everywhere, 100 miles an hour. We've conference calls, meetings, emails, run to see the doctor, run to see the dentist, get back in the car, drive around some more. You get a phone call as you're driving. You try to not have an accident as you get the phone. And the doctor says, I need you to come back in for a few more tests. There's some things we need to check out. And before you can even set that phone down, you are in a foreign land. Things have changed completely. So Abram's call was into a foreign land, and he had to leave familiar surroundings and make this 500-mile journey into this land. Some of us have been called on a journey like that, but for some of us, that journey is not long distance-wise. It's not 500 miles. But one day you're in a familiar land, and the next day it's unfamiliar. Things have changed. And Abram received a call from God to go in the foreign land, and that same God calls us when we find ourselves already deep in that foreign land. He may not have called us there, but he calls us in that place. He finds us in that place, and he calls us. You see, God doesn't call us into a foreign land, really. He calls us to go in and through that land because ultimately God calls us to himself. And when God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, Moses had to argue with him a little bit. And he said, if I go to the Israelites and they're going to ask me, who sent me? What shall I say to them? And he said, tell them that I am has sent you. And Jesus made many I am statements in the New Testament. I am the truth. I am the light. I am the resurrection and life. There's one more statement that Jesus didn't say, but the whole of the Bible attests to this fact that he could make this statement. He says, I am the destination. You see, the kingdom of heaven is not some place. It's a presence. It's being in the presence of the one who calls us. And God doesn't just call certain people like Abraham or Peter, things like that. He calls each of us when we're in a familiar land, and sometimes we have to go to a foreign land, either place. He calls us in both places. So our ears should be attuned to that call. Filter out all the noise if you can. It's hard. Filter out that noise and listen for the call of God. And when you hear that call, he's not going to remind you of your past. It's a call forward to God's promised future through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.